isso, então.
Hello, everybody. The sounds you're hearing now are of my mum beginning her final journey.
Can you hear it?
Yeah. At her funeral on the 13th of January of this year.
Tell me what it looks like.
On the right side.
And I'm hoping that by making this podcast, I can convey the message that no matter how bad things get, life goes on. And no matter how bad the trauma, if there's a willingness there to do so, you can bounce back, and that life is precious. And the other important message I wanted to convey really was, if you're ever finding things too difficult or you feel that you can't cope, don't be frightened to ask for help, because help is there if you need it.
It's the flowers, yeah, it's engraved with flowers, the glass.
Mm. And what about the content of this podcast may be considered by some to be very controversial.
Yes.
Although I'm holding back a lot of the worst bits, I don't think anything's going to be left to the imagination. Grief, trauma is savage. But the message, as I've said, I want to convey is one of hope. Life does go on.
Yes, and dark and dismal. Really.
My story begins on the 1st of July 2008.
Okay. Here we go. Here we go, on our way down to Thanet to see Pliers. It's been a funny day today. Got a phone call at work this morning from her when she said she wasn't feeling very well. So, came home. A bit more to the phone call than that. She was ringing up, she was quite upset and confused, didn't really know who she was talking to and stuff. So now we're heading down to Thanet to see her. Come home from work. Poor old Lee's just got back from a trip. What did you say?
You asked me to call her.
Yeah.
She was calling me Paola.
I asked Denise to call her because I wanted to call
her. Okay, here's the latest situation with Pliers. We've been in the hospital since about 4 o'clock this afternoon and we just got home now. I'm just not sure what time it is. It's after 12 o'clock anyway. And I'm very tired. She had a scan which has revealed a brain tumour, so she's got to go up to London to have that operated on. And one of the doctors told me that she may not survive. So yeah, that's where we are at the moment. His mum lying unconscious in the high dependency unit at the King's College Hospital in London after her operation, where the surgeons managed to remove 80% of her brain tumour. In fact, I'll let the surgeon tell you more about what happened.
So we felt that the safest way to do this would be to remove some of it, as much as safe. Unfortunately, it's in an area of the brain, as I'm sure has been explained to you, that is quite important. So there's a limit to how much we could remove, but Mr. Malik removed a significant area. And unfortunately, it has come back as a tumour. And it's come back as a high-grade glioma, in other words, a malignant tumour of the brain.
Grade what? Four?
I would imagine that it will be grade four. We've got a provisional report at the moment, which is it's high-grade glioma. So yes, it will be grade four. In other words, it's called a glioblastoma. Okay. So what does that mean? It means really that if she recovered brilliantly from the operation, given the state that she was in preoperatively, we wouldn't expect her to have got a lot better postoperatively. Would she have got any additional treatment, in other words, radiotherapy or chemotherapy? And the answer to that would be no, because we know that patients have to have what we call is a certain performance status, in other words, a certain degree of mobility, ability to self-care, etc., etc., to be able to benefit from radiotherapy and chemotherapy. And that's not going to be, that wasn't going to be the case. what's the life expectancy with a high-grade glioma? Well, even with radiotherapy and chemotherapy, in somebody of this age, we are talking about less than a year, at most. Somebody of her condition with the level of disability that she had preoperatively, I would say we'd be talking a few months at most. I can't be...
No.
I can't say that's definite.
Okay.
One is occasionally surprised pleasantly, one more often is surprised unpleasantly. But whatever, it's not good. What's happened in this case is that, unfortunately, despite removing significant amounts of tumour, obviously we couldn't remove all of it.
So that was that. I had lost my mum, effectively. A death sentence had been pronounced. And during the time that she lived, she actually lived until the 29th of December, I've kind of lost count now of how many times we were told that that was it. The days were numbered, 2 weeks to go, only a few days to go, maybe a few hours to go, but somehow she managed to hang in there. And as I said, she survived for a few months, but she suffered a great deal. Both physically and mentally.
So how do we manage this? Well, we manage this as we have been doing, that is steroids.
It was at that time, in July, that I started not to cope very well with the situation. I'd seen the signs before in other people and recognised the signs in myself, so I thought rather than go totally over the edge, which I was in great danger of doing, I'd go and seek help from the professionals. It screwed up my courage and went along and asked for the help from my GP and asked for counselling. And I was amazed at how readily that help was given and how much good it did me.
Well, there's lots of changes that have happened very quickly.
Yeah.
And the next change is now that the likelihood is that she'll die within the next few weeks.
Yeah.
The low point came for me on the 24th of December when I realised that there was absolutely no hope left. Mum had virtually lapsed into a coma and unable to do anything for herself, unable to walk, talk, do anything really. And that was the day really that I knew the game was up.
I'm sorry, mate, that's the truth.
And losing her on the 29th of December after that almost came as a relief, to be honest.
She's still with us, as it happens. For a minute, meant to be going to Italy on the 27th, but I'm not sure.
It's all just up in the air anyway. That it was just something in place we've had, wasn't it? In case we're sitting looking at each other over the holidays, we thought we might as well.
I don't know whether I want to go.
Of course not. I'm the same, and exactly the same. That can easily be cancelled, huh? Of course you don't want to. You want to be here, don't you?
And today would be bad.
Yeah.
Sorry about this, Terry. I'll get myself together in a minute.
No, mate. It was expected.
You were almost sort of new, didn't you?
Denise and I did decide to go to Italy in the end and surround ourselves with the comfort that our family could provide to us. And it's at that time that I started to realise how amazingly resilient the human spirit is. It's new year, new start. I definitely started to bounce back then.
Cinque, quattro, tre, due, uno.
Hey! Auguri!
Happy New Year!
Happy New Year!
It's the 2009. Happy New Year!
Happy New Year! What a shit year! What a shit New Year! Shit year that was!
Next year.
It was that resilience which enabled me to make Mum's funeral arrangements for her.
What I suggest you do, though, is get as many people to go straight to the church.
Yeah, I think so.
Because otherwise, with the horses, you're going to have this great snake of traffic coming through the town.
Yeah.
And if you say, well, we'll just have the horses, our hearse will be in front.
Yeah.
Because the horse-drawn hearse hasn't actually got much capacity for flowers.
Okay. So to write and deliver her eulogy.
Welcome, everybody. And if you can't hear me, please feel free to come closer. I wish to say some words on behalf of Simon and I, Eleanor's sons. Although we celebrate Mum's life today, we also mourn her passing. Simon and I are devastated.
And to help lay her to rest.
Our sister Eleanor has gone to her rest in the peace of Christ. May the Lord now welcome her to the table of God's children in heaven. With faith and hope in eternal life, let us assist her with our prayers. Let us pray to the Lord also for ourselves. May we who mourn be reunited one day with her. Together may we meet Christ Jesus when he who is our life appears in glory. O God, by whose mercy the faithful departed find rest, bless this grave and send your holy angel to watch over it. As we bury here the body of our sister, deliver her soul from every bond of sin, that she may rejoice in you with your saints forever. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Because God has chosen to call our sister Eleanor from this life to himself, we commit her body to the earth. For we are dust, and unto dust we shall return.
I did say that this podcast was about hope and about life being precious. And as I sit here this evening and listen to the ocean breaking below me as I enjoy a holiday in Funchal and smell the intoxicating smell of frying fish, I've eaten too much already today. I think this has renewed my appetite. I realise that I've got a lot to be thankful for. And it was the sounds of Easter Day in Funchal which caused me to make this podcast. Sounds of other people giving thanks. Giving thanks in a language that I couldn't understand, but everybody seemed so happy and so glad to be alive. That's it. Thanks very much for listening. I'll leave you now with the guitarist who attempted to entertain diners the other night in an outdoor restaurant not very far away from where I'm staying. The guy trying to break his wine glass in the right-hand speaker was last year handed a diagnosis of aplastic anemia. So he doesn't know how long he'll be here for. It just makes you think. Make the most of it. I think we only get one crack at this life. Bye-bye.
Entre flores, canarios y alegrías, nació España, la tierra del amor. Solo Dios puede hacer.